I'm going to say that. But we're going to just hit pause for a second and look at some of the Christmas carols, the hymns that we sing that go along with Christmas. And so we're going to start with what is arguably, depending on where you find your information, one of the oldest, if not the oldest, hymn slash Christmas carol. And you already sang it today, like we planned it, but we didn't. Angels, We Have Heard on High. So Luke chapter 2 is where this comes from, where this song comes from. So I actually brought with me, do you guys know what this is? This is a hymnal. Back in the day, the pews before chairs had this little rack, and I actually have these. This was a textbook in college. This was my very worst class. I did not grow up in church. I had only been a Christian for like a year when I went to Bible college. And we were required to take like a worship class where we had to lead worship. We had to have hymns memorized and be able to write them out. First of all, I'm not like a huge music person. You can ask my kids. The music, a song will come on and they'll be like, "Dad, what are you listening to?" I don't know. I'm just listening to the music. I don't pay attention to the words. And they're like, "This song's terrible." Oh, you shouldn't listen to it then. And so I didn't know anything. I've never really hardly sang hymns in my life, right? Came to know the Lord in the 90s where we were transitioning. We didn't know what we were doing anymore in the church. It was a little bit of hymns and a little bit of choruses. And so I had to write these things out as like a test from memory. It was terrible. So if you would turn in your hymnals this morning to hymn number 93, it's Angels We Have Heard on High. And it says right there under the hymn, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace," Luke 2:14. So if you go to the book of Luke, chapter 2, we're actually going to read everything around that because you know I like to put it all into context. So Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, says, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified," they being the shepherds. "They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.' Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying," Luke 2:14, "'Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased.' When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them." Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray, Father, that as we look at the scriptures and we look at these hymns and choruses that we sing, that you would speak to our heart. potentially one of the oldest Christmas carols or hymns that we sing. There's some evidence, it's a little bit disputed, that this was sung as early as 129 BC in Rome. So that's a long time ago. And today we're still singing this song. Later it was adopted by the French. The French adopted this song. I guess in France, they really like to sing Christmas carols. I haven't been to France at Christmas, but I think maybe I should try it. A lot of hymnals, if you have... Who has a hymnal? I have like three in my office. Some of the old hymnals will actually refer to this as an old French hymn. So that's kind of what happened. And then in the 30s, the 1930s, the Methodist Church adopted it. And then it started getting into our hymnals, and they modified it and made some changes to it. But eventually it was, you know, we sing it today. Angels we have heard on high. And it's an invitation to us to come and celebrate Christ's birth. The angels were inviting the shepherds, come and celebrate with us. It's an invitation today. And so, you know, the history of the hymn is kind of interesting, especially since it's so old. And as it graduated over time and was brought into the hymnals here. But the history is interesting. It's what it's talking about. And I feel like sometimes when we sing these songs, maybe it's just me because I'm not the guy that pays attention to the lyrics. But maybe sometimes we just need to slow down and take a closer look. So, angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing over the plains. I mean, if you think of angels, that's our first thought when we think of angels singing. For some reason, we don't think they have bad voices. And they're sweetly singing over the plains, and the mountains in reply echo back. You know, when you stand in the valley and you yell out and you hear it come back. And it says it's joyous. And then the second verse talks about the shepherds. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why are you so excited? Why are you so happy? Say, what may the tidings be which inspire your heavenly song? And so there's an acknowledgement that in this story we just read, the shepherds are reporting what they've heard from the angels, and it's a joyous thing. It's a heavenly song that is birthed up inside of them. When God begins to do something in us, we get joyous. And a song begins to build. Verse 3 is, come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. So we just read about that in Luke, which is what this is all referring to. Come and see what the angels sing. The angels told them, this is what you're going to find. And we just read how that last verse, verse 20, says they found it exactly as the angels proclaimed it. Come adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord. We don't bow for much these days. It used to be a symbol of humility, a symbol of honor, a symbol of putting yourself under that thing or that person. Today, it's weakness. We don't take a knee because, you know, there's a whole bunch of, you know, we could really get sidetracked. But on bended knee, they bow before this baby in honor, in worship, in reverence. And then the last verse says, you see within a manger laid Jesus, Lord on heaven and earth. One of the things I love about hymns, and we still sing some hymns, and I like incorporating them in some of our worship because there's so much truth. Some of our newer worship is, we don't have as much depth in the worship. We have mud puddle theology in the modern worship, and some of our older hymns have a little bit deeper theology. And so the hymn explains the whole thing, that he was laid in a manger, he was Jesus, he is Lord. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid, with us sing our Savior's birth. And then we go into the chorus, which is probably the most popular part of this song. Gloria in excelsis Deo. You know, the whole thing celebrates the message of the angels. So when we break those verses down, Jesus' birth brings good news. Verses 10 through 13. The angel said, "Fear not, I bring good news of great joy. For unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign, you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." He's our Savior. Not a political savior. He's the one that rescues our heart. He rescues our spirit. He rescues our lives. He brings peace. And there was an army of angels that came and shared this message. And you can picture this, or if you can picture this, and you think of this hillside, and the shepherds are tending their sheep, and all of a sudden, boom, here appears this spiritual being. We don't know what it looked like. CGI, we could create something really cool, I'm sure. And it says there was a radiance of the Lord's glory. And when we think about that and we see the depictions and we have our manger scenes that we put up and all those kinds of things, the awe that they would have been struck with. But they say, "Fear not, do not be afraid." That message was specific to this moment and what was happening, but it speaks for generations. Fear not. This is a joyous time of year, and we decorate the streets, we decorate our houses, we decorate trees. Renewable resource, by the way. But we walk around with worry, we walk around with stress, we walk around with doubt. We walk around with discouragement. And man, it can go so far. Hug, smile, handshake. To encourage the people around us. Life's circumstances might be trying to dictate one thing to us. But we've been instructed, fear not. There is good news. He wasn't just Lord for that moment. He wasn't just Lord through the Gospels or the book of Acts, but he's Lord forever. And we can keep going back to him. And we can keep asking for strength and encouragement. Jesus' birth brings glory to God in Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest. I really worked hard to come up with that. Right? His birth should bring glory. I mean, it is everywhere. Because people get upset and they say, "Well, Christmas has been commercialized." So what? If we fight against every little thing, we are never You know, sometimes we go through these things, and I've done it myself, and I go, well, I'm not going to shop here because they believe this, and I'm not going to shop there because they support that, and you're not going to shop anywhere. You better have a really good garden, and you better have some chickens and some goats and some, because you can't go anywhere except for Chick-fil-A and Shields and In-N-Out. I guess you could survive on that. Waffle fries every day. Everybody is celebrating. What, you know, we always talk about Easter. Oh, it's the easiest opportunity to invite people to church for Easter. I think Christmas might beat it. You want to come hear little kids sing? Who doesn't want to hear little kids sing? If they don't want to hear little kids sing, you probably should take a step back. Who doesn't want to come watch a movie and drink hot cocoa and eat popcorn? We're going to have our candlelight service on Christmas Eve. We sing some Christmas carols. We do communion. We got real candles this year, folks. We're working on a new building. We're not recording, are we? We're going to have a candlelight service. It is a sweet time when you can invite somebody to church. Oh, we do this service. It's 45 minutes to an hour. Start with 45 minutes. It's 45-ish minutes. We're not lying. We're abbreviating. Come and we sing some Christmas songs. A lot of these songs are songs that everybody knows because they've been sung since 129 BC, presumably. And man, come and celebrate with us. They hear about the Christmas story. They see a beautiful church community gathered and worshiping and celebrating the birth of the Lord. Angels we have heard on high celebrates the birth of Jesus as the angels appeared to those shepherds on the countryside. Glory to God in excelsis Deo. That's what that means. You spoke another language today. Good job. Glory to God on high. That's what makes that chorus so powerful in excelsis Deo. To glory to God on high. In Latin. The third part is, Jesus' birth brings peace on earth. Brings peace on earth. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace among those whom he has pleased. The reason that the message is good news is because it brings peace. And everybody likes to experience peace. I grew up, we did a lot of water skiing when I grew up. And saw this video the other day, and it took me back to my childhood, because I remember, we always camped. We tent camped. This is before glamping. And we would go out on the Columbia River, Lake, what do they call that? Lake Roosevelt, up in northeast Washington. And if you got up early and you got out on the river, It would be like glass. And it was so beautiful and so serene and so peaceful. And there would be the sound of the motor as the boat was going across the water, and there might be just like these slight waves from a boat that had gone by somewhere down the river. And you could just hear the splash of the waves. It was the most beautiful thing. And then you throw a rope in the water and you put on a water ski and you jump out. And it's the most beautiful, peaceful thing as you're seeing the trees and the beaches as you're cruising down the lake and you're on the water. That's the only way I ever walked on water. Did cartwheels across the river a few times. And as you carve through the water, it's so smooth. And maybe the water's a little bit warmer than the air, and you can feel that warm air on your shins. It is so beautiful. And it brings so much peace. And then you have to start adulting, and peace goes away. And the mortgage comes, and the gas bill comes, and the grocery bill comes. Kids wanted snacks the other day, and I'm like, all right, let's go get snacks. We're not getting snacks anymore. Snacks are horrendously expensive now. I walked out thinking, we just blew the grocery budget over chips and dip. Not really, but it was a moment of no peace when I swiped my card. I had to go to Boise the other day. There was a lot of moments of no peace. Lots of encouragement for the people around me. Allie thinks we should start a podcast when we drive anywhere. I'm very verbal. I am a great encourager. I love people. I like to help them be their best. Which foot to use, which pedal to use. Jesus' birth brings us the opportunity to experience that peace. You know, you can be a tool, a catalyst to bring peace into the lives of people around you. Sometimes if we don't have peace, it's because the circumstances and the situation in our life is dictating or attempting to dictate something else. Even in the midst of difficult things, we can still experience peace. Doesn't necessarily mean we like what is happening. Doesn't mean we're excited about the circumstances or the situation. But what peace means is that in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the storm, that water is like glass. While the wind is blowing all around me, the water is still like glass. That in the midst of that chaos happening, I can know that God is in control, that God loves me. God is concerned about my situation. He is concerned about my circumstance. And He wants to be involved in my life. And I can stiff arm Him, right? Yesterday was Heisman. Stiff arm Him and keep Him away. Or I can say, Lord, please come in and bring peace into my life. Lord, please bring encouragement into my life. You can be that vessel of encouragement to another person. Now, sometimes we're in the midst of those things, the Christian quips and quotes, and they don't speak into the life of the person that is going through that something always. God's got this. I'm here for you. How can I help you? Do you need somebody to talk to? I am a great listener. I carry tissues. We don't have to fix it. Sometimes when Megan wants to tell me things, I have to just clarify, am I fixing or listening? Listening is a lot easier than fixing. Just hear what people have to say. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, it says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. He's still that same Lord today. Then the angels went away. The shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. And Mary treasured all of these things in her heart. And the shepherds, verse 20, returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. If an angel appears to you, do you think you're going to go run check out what you're instructed or told or it shares with you? They went to check it out and see if it was true. When they got there, they saw that everything that they had been told was everything was exactly as they had told it would be. When we are encountering other people and we tell them about this peace and this joyous time of year where we celebrate with gifts and platters of cookies, we want to bring peace to the people around us. We want to be that vessel that there's just this radiance of peace and joy. It doesn't mean life's perfect. And when God is doing something in our life, we want to be sharing that with other people. So those are some of the things that should be true for us, that we should go and see. If you hear this story and you question it and you wonder, check it out. Go study the scriptures and see what it says about this Christmas that we celebrate, Christ's birth. And once we receive what God has for us, then we praise Him and we celebrate and we rejoice. Christmas is a season of worship. It's a beautiful thing. I shared last week how it's been in previous years, Christmas has been a difficult thing for me. And I have struggled to find joy or peace in the season. But I'm working to make that better. I bought a really cool Christmas sweater, but the sweater, we're just going to say it shrunk in the wash, maybe? I don't know. There was more Rob than sweater. And then I was like, I'm going to be really festive and I'm going to get my little dog one. I have this little dog. It's a man dog. And she loves me. She comes to work with me almost every day. I bought her a little elf costume. Yeah, I don't really sound that awesome right now. I ride a motorcycle too. I left her at home and didn't bring her to work the other day, and she chewed up my favorite hat and peed on the elf costume. But it is a joyous, peaceful season. I was really pretty upset about the hat. In my mind, I sounded way cooler. Until I said, I have this little dog. We want to tell others the good news. You know, sometimes we sing this song, Go Tell It on the Mountain. I wish I was that super talented guy that could just bust into song for you, but we want to grow the church. We have a great story to tell. Did you know that even the challenges and the tragedies that have taken place in your life are part of a great story of things that have taken place in your world that have shaped you? Does that mean that doesn't change the difficulty of that situation? It doesn't minimize the challenges you've walked through in any way. So please don't hear that. But what it does is it shapes you and gives God opportunity to be at work in you. And that is part of your story, and that is part of your testimony, and that is part of the good news that we share of what God has done in our life in the midst of all kinds of challenges. And I look through the room and I can think of all kinds of things that you have faced, sometimes by yourself, sometimes in community, sometimes with your family. We're here so it doesn't have to be by yourself, so that it can be in community. Can you imagine if the shepherds stayed quiet and they stayed on that hillside and they never went and checked it out? We wouldn't be singing these songs today, or this song. Nobody would know about it. It would be a silent act that took place on this hillside that nobody responded to. They just went back to beating the sheep to get them to go where they want. What God's doing in your life, He wants to use that to impact other people. We don't want to be silent about what He's doing in our life. The good things, the challenging things, all of the things. Amen? I want to pray for you, and then